how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean-Lit Foot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and it's the weekend, so as always, I'll be taking over for Bubba as the host of this weekend edition of the podcast. You can follow me at Jake Crumpler on Twitter and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Friday, June 28th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Starting with the bad news, our first IL placement is first baseman Bryce Harper, who was placed on the 10-day IL by the Phillies with a left hamstring strain. It's seemingly a minor injury for Harper, but I'd expect the Phillies to hold him out through the All-Star break so he gets the rest he needs to carry over his success into the second half. Cody Clemens was activated from the 10-day IL in a corresponding move and is expected to take over at first base in Harper's absence. Clemens posted a 148 WRC plus in 17 games before missing 3 weeks with lower back spasms. The Phillies also placed DH Kyle Schwarber on the 10-day IL with a left groin strain. The injury was labeled mild, but Schwarber is likely due for the same treatment as Harper. If not, he's eligible to return on June 9th. In the meantime, Nick Castellanos will shift to DH, Brandon Marsh to right field, and the newly recalled Johan Rojas taking over in center field. Second baseman Tyro Estrada was placed on the 10-day IL by the Giants with a right wrist sprain. Estrada has been dealing with myriad injuries, though the official diagnosis was a wrist sprain. Estrada, and likely anyone else placed on the IL from here on out, should be expected to be out through the All-Star break. Brett Wisely will see the majority of the playing time at the Keystone in Estrada's absence. First baseman Wilmer Flores was placed on the 10-day IL with right knee tendonitis, and Flores will join Estrada on the IL as the Giants have not been able to catch a break this year with so many injuries. Though they did get some good news as Lamont Wade Jr. was activated from his own stint on the 10-day IL with a grade 2 hamstring strain and will see the majority of playing time at first base even when Flores returns. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Joe Musgrove was transferred to the 60-day IL. The move clears up space on the 40-man roster for Austin Davis and means Musgrove will be out until August at the earliest with an elbow injury. Davis will take over in the bullpen for Tom Cosgrove, who was placed on the 15-day IL with left elbow inflammation. And in terms of news, outfielder James Wood will be promoted to the majors on Monday. According to MLB Pipeline, Wood is the number one Nationals prospect, the number one outfield prospect, and the number three overall prospect in baseball. At just 21 years old, the left-handed hitter has torn up AAA with a .346 average, 10 homers and steals apiece, two fewer walks than strikeouts, and a 168 WRC plus. Correcting his previously inflated strikeout rate has been an enormous step in Wood's preparation for the majors, and Wood will likely slot into left field every day and should be rostered universally because of his seemingly endless upside. And now we'll check out the notable performances from Friday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with Jose Siri as he helped the Rays to a win versus the Nationals, going 2-for-3 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, and a walk. He's up to 11 home runs on the year now. The first one traveled 405 feet at 108.6 miles per hour, the second one 428 feet at 107.1 miles per hour. Siri burst onto the scene last year with 25 homers and 12 steals to go with a lot of swing and miss in his game. He's maintained that style of play while retaining a spot in the lineup because of his elite defense in center field. Siri has offset the strikeouts a little by walking at a career high 8.5% rate this year and has improved on his already impressive batted ball metric, suggesting Siri could end this season season with more than 20 homers and double-digit stolen bases. As long as you account for Siri's detrimental performance in the average department, he's a solid producer in the power and speed categories. Jeff McNeil helped the Mets to a win versus the Astros, going 3-for-4 with 2 runs, a home run, and 3 runs batted in. He's up to 4 home runs on the year now, and this one traveled 346 feet at 101.2 miles per hour. McNeil is like if Luis Arraez was on the Mets. He sports excellent plate discipline metrics every year, and his bat-to-ball skills may be unrivaled in the NL East. Though ever since his juiced ball influenced 20 homer campaign in 2019, he's been underwhelming in fantasy circles. With little power or speed and a descending spot in the lineup, McNeil's sole area of production comes in the average department. At 221, McNeil's average this season is the lowest of his career, and it's 100% a result of his career low 237 BABIP, but his abysmal batted ball metrics don't help things at all. But without the average, McNeil is nothing in fantasy. With his role reduced to that of a platoon as well, McNeil is barely rosterable in 15-team leagues, but be prepared for him to turn things on in the second half as luck turns in his favor. And lastly, Seiya Suzuki did all he could, but the Cubs lost to the Brewers in Milwaukee. He went 1-for-4 with a run, a home run, and a run batted in. He's up to 10 home runs on the year now, and this one traveled 401 feet at 105.6 miles per hour. Suzuki has been limited by injuries this year, but when he's been on the field, he's been great. And just like in years past, it takes Suzuki a while to get into a groove, but Suzuki seems to have entered that zone in June. Since homering on May 30th, Suzuki has a 161 WRC+. There are slight concerns, though, as Suzuki has been lifting the ball a little too much, which will limit his batting average ceiling no matter how much his impressive batted ball metrics inflate his BABIP. Suzuki has also struck out more than 30% of the time during his hot stretch, but these flaws come with a silver lining that Suzuki could take his game to even greater heights if he straightens out his batted balls and cuts back on the swing and miss. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable hitting performances from Friday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on PitcherList.com. Now I'll head to the mound and check out the notable starting pitching performances, opening with Christopher Sanchez as he earned the win versus the Marlins, tossing 9 shutout innings, allowing just 3 hits. He walked nobody while striking out 9. Sanchez induced 16 whiffs with a 34% CSW across 101 pitches. Sanchez nearly came away with a Maddux as he filleted the Marlins in the first shutout of his career. His 3-pitch mix diced them up. Sanchez's signature changeup was his most thrown offering, and it led the way with 8 whiffs. The sinker also snuck in for 36% CSW as Sanchez stole 12 called strikes with the pitch. The slider, though, was the difference maker with 6 whiffs and 47% CSW. We know Sanchez has a great sinker in the mid-90s and one of the best changeups in baseball, but incorporating a trustworthy third pitch will help Sanchez escape the Toby territory he's currently in. That slider is his saving grace, and while he's an auto start with or without the breaker in his next start in Chicago, repeating Friday's success will hinge on his feel for the pitch. Andre Pallante earned the win versus the Reds, tossing 5 1/3 shutout innings, allowing just 4 hits and 3 walks while striking out 5. He induced 8 whiffs with 20% CSW across 88 pitches. Pallante transitioned to starting after being demoted to the minors in April, and since his promotion, Pallante has made 6 starts. 2 of those have been blow-ups with a combined 11 earned runs, while the other 4 have a combined 1 earned run. Pallante had his best fastballs working versus the Reds on Friday as his sinker and four-seamer combined for 6 whiffs, but just 23% CSW as they induced a ton of outs in play. The curve chipped in with a pair of whiffs, but was otherwise unaccounted for, leaving Pallante to tread water with just his fastballs. And that's not a reliable strategy, even if Pallante is elite at getting ground balls, and I'm talking 99th percentile. That ultra-reliance on balls in play means he's bound to have a high whip, and his low whiff totals mean he's a Toby at best. Pallante could be a decent stream next time out in Pittsburgh, though I'd look for other options first. And lastly, we have Colin Ray as he earned the win versus the Cubs, tossing 5 1/3 innings, allowing 3 hits and 2 earned runs while walking 2 and striking out 8. He induced 15 whiffs and 35% CSW across 97 pitches. Ray is your prototypical Toby on a winning ball club. The season-long line looks great with solid production in the ERA and win categories. However, Ray's reliance on balls in play as a result of his low strikeout rate means he's destined to sport a high whip. It's currently at 1.23. The low strikeout rate is also a problem in itself, as he'll forever be labeled a Toby. Nonetheless, Ray dashed all of his labels by fanning a season-high 8 Cubs on Friday as his sinker dominated in the zone. The pitch induced 6 whiffs with 38% CSW, while the rest of his 6-pitch mix accounted for the other 9 whiffs and 33% CSW. Ray's kitchen sink approach can work against pretty much any weak offense, and his employment on the Brewers makes him a candidate for a win every time out. And Ray gets the Rockies and Coors next time out, and And while that offense isn't good and has been surmountable in Colorado this year, I don't want to just go trusting anyone in the best hitter's park in baseball in the middle of the summer. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Friday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Pete Fairbanks secured his 13th save with a hitless ninth against the Nationals. Fairbanks owns a 1.25 ERA since being activated from the IL in May. Craig Kimbrell locked down his 18th save with a perfect ninth. Kimbrell has also been pretty good since Fairbanks returned with a 0.56 ERA during that same stretch. Michael Kopech is up to 7 saves now after pitching a hitless ninth against the Rockies. Trevor McGill recorded his 17th save with a perfect ninth. McGill has notched 9 saves with a 0.73 ERA in the month of June. Ryan Helsley secured his major league leading 29th save. Helsley is currently on pace to break Eric Gagne's National League record of 55 saves set back in 2003. And lastly, Carlos Estevez locked down his 16th save with a perfect ninth. Estevez once again walked nobody, bringing his season-long walk rate to 3.1%, 6% lower than his career rate entering this season. And now we'll check out the closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their save, starting with Camilo Doval, who blew his third save but came away with his third win after the Giants walked it off in the ninth against Blake Treinen. Mason Miller pitched a perfect ninth with the A's up by 5. The offense tacked on 3 insurance runs in the ninth, so the club likely didn't want to waste Miller's bullpen and still threw him out there in the ninth. Andrés Muñoz pitched a perfect ninth in a tie game that the Mariners would go on to win in extras. And lastly, Yoan Duran matched Munoz with his own scoreless ninth with the game tied. But if you'd like a breakdown of notable relief pitching performances from Friday, check out the Daily Reliever Ranks article over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now look forward to Saturday, June 29th, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Max Fried versus Paul Skeens. Skeens is always must-watch TV, and to put him up against one of the game's premier aces makes this the clear spotlight on Saturday. In terms of probable starters, we've got 9 guys in our auto starts tier, including both Fried and Skeens. We've also got Tyler Glasnow in San Francisco, Cole Reagans versus the Guardians, and Aaron Nola versus the Marlins. Our probably starts tier also has 9 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Griffin Canning versus the Tigers. Canning took down the A's last time out, and the Tigers may be an even easier matchup. I'd also keep an eye out for Tobias Myers versus the Cubs. Myers has allowed just 2 runs across his past 4 starts and is a Vargas rule, meaning this could fall apart at any moment, though I'm inclined to trust this continues until we see signs of regression. Start Myers against the Cubs for a shot at a win. In terms of hitter suggestions, I go for Phillies hitters against Rodri Munoz. Munoz is fine and could succeed against a diminished Phillies lineup, but I expect the players with newfound playing time to take advantage of the spotlight to secure their place on the roster after the All-Star break. And now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Michael Kopech has pitched on consecutive days, but so has John Brebbia, so expect Steven Wilson to get any surprise save chance that arrives today. And lastly, Camilo Doval has pitched in 3 of the past 4 days. With a day off on Monday, the Giants may opt to push him this weekend. The Giants are also deploying a bullpen game on Saturday, meaning it's all hands on deck, so I'd expect Doval to be available. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Join PL Pro to gain access to the Discord to interact with Pitcherlist staff and members of the community, as well as to utilize the in-season tools to help you win your leagues. That'll wrap up this edition of the podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Crumpler. Tune in tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.